You know, when I look at the research we usually go through for this, show business strategies, tech breakthroughs, all of that, there's almost always a common denominator.
What's that?
They are loud. I mean, they're all trying to grab you by the lapels and just shout, "Hey,
Yeah.
you need this. You're missing out."
Oh, absolutely. It's the attention economy, right? If you aren't screaming, you aren't selling. The
Yeah.
whole idea is to cast the widest net
The
possible.
funnel.
Exactly.
Exactly. We all know the funnel. So you can imagine my genuine confusion when I opened our source for today. It's this document called the Fit Fashion Manifesto, a guided alignment. And we're looking at the first chapter, who this is and is not for. And I'm reading it, expecting the usual hype. And instead, the author basically opens the door, looks me in the eye, and says, "Actually, this probably isn't for you. You might want to leave."
It's so jarring, isn't it? It just completely flips the script on how you're supposed to engage
It
people.
really does.
And, we're not really talking about fabrics or stitching today, even with fashion in the title. This deep dive is about a mindset shift. The text calls itself a guided conversation, but I'd argue it's almost like a deprogramming exercise.
Deprogramming. I like that.
Yeah, it's asking us to see fit fashion not as a style, but as a state of psychological alignment.
Alignment. That really is the key word for this whole thing. But before we get to that, we have to deal with this sort of ice bucket challenge at the start. The text just explicitly lists who this is not for.
It does.
It says, and I'm quoting here, "Fit fashion isn't for everyone, and that's not a limitation. That's intention."
And that distinction right there, that's the first huge insight. Not a limitation, that's intention. I mean, in today's world, excluding people is usually seen as a marketing
Oh,
failure.
yeah, you're leaving money on the table.
Exactly. But here, the author is saying that by excluding people, you're actually practicing a form of respect. There's a line that anchors it all. Clarity is a form of respect.
I want to push on that a bit because clarity is a form of respect. I mean,
Yeah.
usually telling someone you don't belong here feels, well, it feels dismissive,
Yeah.
exclusive in a bad way.
I get that. But think about the alternative. The alternative is dragging someone along, wasting their time, selling them a promise you can't really fulfill for them. The text says this chapter exists to release pressure. And think about the sheer hydraulic pressure in the fashion and lifestyle space right now. The pressure to keep up, to buy the latest
To
thing.
understand the latest micro trend.
So by saying, "Hey, this might not be for you," it releases you from that obligation. It's an invitation to pause, not a demand to purchase.
So it's like the difference between a velvet rope at a club, which is all about status, and a do not enter sign on a construction site, which is just for your own safety.
That is a fantastic analogy. It just saves everyone time and energy. It lets the reader self-select out before they get invested in something that won't serve them.
Okay, so let's get into who gets this do not enter sign. Because the list is specific, and frankly, it attacks a lot of behaviors that the modern world actually rewards.
It really does.
I read this list and I thought, well, that's basically everyone I know.
It cuts right to the bone of, modern digital life. The text states unequivocally that this is not for women who want instant validation.
Okay.
It is not for chasing trends. And maybe most radically, it's not for viral attention.
Viral attention. Wow. I mean, that's the business model of every single social media platform. If you aren't trying to go viral, do you even exist online?
That's exactly what the text gets at. It says this philosophy doesn't translate well to scrolling culture, and then it adds this little kicker. And it doesn't need to. This is just a fundamental rejection of what some people call the performance economy.
The performance economy. Okay, I've heard that term. Can you ground it for us? Is it just the idea that we're all actors now?
In a way, yeah. In a performance economy, your value, and often your self-worth, it comes from how well you perform your life for an audience.
So you don't just go to the gym.
No, you perform going to the gym for your stories. You don't just wear an outfit because it's comfortable. You perform style to signal your relevance. The source says this manifesto is not for proving your discipline or your worth to anyone else.
That's a tough pill to swallow, though. I think a lot of us, maybe without even realizing it, we dress a certain way to prove something. Look how professional I am. Look how fit I am. It's all signaling.
And signaling isn't inherently bad, but the manifesto argues that when the signal becomes more important than the reality, you've lost the plot. If your motivation is to prove your worth to a stranger on the internet, fit fashion is, respectfully showing you the door.
So it's completely counterintuitive. Everything is metrics now, likes, views, shares. So if we strip all that away, if we're not chasing trends, not performing, not looking for validation, who is even left? Who is this for?
And this is where the text pivots from exclusion to invitation. And it's fascinating because it doesn't describe a demographic. It doesn't say, women 25 to 40. It describes a temperament.
Okay.
The ideal person is someone who is curious, not rushed.
Curious, not rushed. I paused on that. Not rushed. That implies a relationship with time that just feels so rare right now.
Precisely. It's about the pace of how we consume things. The modern consumer is frantic. We scan, we scroll, we double tap, we move on. Our brains are conditioned for speed.
Right.
This person is willing to pause long enough to ask, does this align with how I see myself? And that requires a level of introspection you just can't do at high speed. You can't reflect while you're sprinting.
It's like the difference between grabbing fast food because you're starving and sitting down to actually taste a meal.
Exactly. And the text connects this to a phrase I think anchors the whole thing. It's for women who value intention over attention.
Okay, let's dig into that. Intention versus attention. They sound similar, but they're pulling in opposite directions.
Polar opposites, really. Attention is external. It's about eyes on you. It's a resource you get from other people. It validates you from the outside in.
Right.
Intention is internal. It's about why you're doing something. It validates you from the inside out. The text says it's for women who don't need to be convinced.
Which gets to the confidence piece. The source says this is for women who are already confident. But I want to be careful here because confident can conjure up this image of someone really loud, owning the room.
Right. And the text clarifies that almost immediately. It's not arrogance. It's not that I'm the best bravado. It's a quiet certainty.
Okay.
The text defines this confidence as valuing how something feels to live with over how it looks online.
That distinction. Wow. How it feels to live with. We've all been there, right?
Oh,
Buying
yeah.
those shoes because they looked amazing in a staged photo. But then you get them home and they're stiff or they're high maintenance or the fabric is just itchy. It doesn't fit the reality of your Tuesday morning.
That is the trap of scrolling culture. We buy the image, but we have to inhabit the reality. This manifesto is for the person who prioritizes the sensory reality of their daily life over the curated image of it.
So we have this persona, curious, intentional, prioritizing, feeling overlooking. But then the text takes a deeper turn. It starts talking about the body itself.
Yeah.
And the language gets almost sacred.
It does. This is where we move from psychology into, well, philosophy. The text describes the body as something entrusted, not exploited.
Entrusted, not exploited. Let's stop there. Exploited. In the fashion world, isn't the body just a mannequin, a tool to sell clothes?
It's deeper than that, I think. The text implies that we exploit ourselves. It's this idea of self-objectification. You start to see your own body as an object to be optimized and displayed for social capital.
So you work out to show off the abs.
Exactly. Or you dress up to show off a silhouette. You're using your own body as a means to an end to get likes or approval.
That's a heavy thought. You're essentially the pimp and the product at the same time.
It's harsh, but yeah, effectively, that's the influencer economy. The manifesto proposes this radical shift. The body is something to inhabit.
To inhabit. Like a home.
Exactly like a home. Think about how you treat a home you live in versus one you're just trying to flip for a quick sale.
Oh, that's a great point.
If you're living in it, you care about the comfort, the flow, the feeling of safety. If you're selling it, you care about curb appeal and how it photographs. The text says the body is not something to advertise. It's something to be inhabited with awareness, restraint, and presence.
Restraint is an interesting word there.
Yeah.
Fashion is usually about expression. Being bold, look at me! But this is about restraint. Why?
I think you have to connect it to the other trait the text mentions, women who are drawn to stillness. The text argues that not everything powerful needs to be loud.
That feels like a hard sell in this decade.
Yeah.
I mean, if you aren't loud, if you're not broadcasting, the algorithm just buries you. You become invisible.
To the algorithm, yes, you might, but to yourself, that's where the value is. The text says not every image needs to explain itself. And here's the line I think defines this whole section. Some things are meant to be experienced privately.
Privacy. That really is the ultimate luxury these days.
It is. I mean, think about the last time you had a profound experience. Maybe you wore something that felt amazing, or you felt strong in your body, and you didn't post it. You just kept it for yourself.
Honestly, it's rare. The instinct is to grab the phone, pics, or it didn't happen, right?
Right. And that is what the manifesto means by entrusted. You are the guardian of your own experience, not the broadcaster of it.
It's about reclaiming the self. If you're constantly broadcasting, you're giving pieces of yourself away for consumption. This is, no, keep it. It's yours.
And that links right back to why this doesn't translate well to scrolling culture. Scrolling culture demands constant content. Inhabiting your life requires presence. And you can't be fully present in your body if you're also worrying about the camera angle.
You can't be the observer and the observed at the same time.
You can't.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So we've got this very Zen, very internal approach. But I played devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
What if a listener hears all this and thinks, you know what? No. I like my trends. I like the dopamine hit of a like. This just sounds boring.
Then the manifesto has succeeded.
Right. Of course. Because it told you to leave in the first paragraph.
But it does it without judgment. And this is the part on discernment versus failure. The text is very gentle here. It says, Fit Fashion isn't asking you to decide anything right now. It's simply offering clarity.
I really appreciated that reframing of rejection. Usually if a brand rejects us, we feel like we failed the test. But the text says, if it resonates, you'll know. And if it doesn't, that's not a failure, that's discernment.
We're so conditioned to think that if we don't get something, we failed. We're not cool enough or smart enough. This text says, no, if this doesn't resonate, you have simply discerned that it isn't for you. That's a success. You've defined a boundary.
It calls for honesty over certainty. That's the phrase it uses. You don't have to be 100% sure, but you do have to be honest about what feels right.
And that leads to the closing argument of the chapter, which is a principle that applies to so much more than just clothes. It says, fit fashion isn't meant to persuade, it's meant to align.
Persuasion versus alignment. Let's break that down, because we spend so much of our lives trying to persuade people. We think that's the goal.
Persuasion is active. It's force. It's argument, convincing. It's me trying to drag you over to my side of the line, and it takes a massive amount of energy.
And it's almost adversarial in a way. One person wins, the other loses ground.
Exactly. If I have to persuade you, I'm trying to change your mind. Alignment, on the other hand, it's like magnetism. It's recognition. It's walking into a room and realizing, oh, you see the world the way I do. You don't have to explain yourself.
Right.
And the text ends with this beautiful sentiment, alignment never needs to be rushed.
That brings us full circle to that curious, not rushed idea from the beginning. If you have to rush to convince someone, it's probably not alignment. It's probably just sales.
That's it. If you have to use high pressure tactics or FOMO, you're trying to force a fit. True alignment just clicks. It might take years to find it, but the connection itself doesn't need to be forced. It just is.
So stepping back, This is called the manifesto, but it really feels more like a meditation on modern learning. A pushback against all the noise.
It's a recalibration. We're bombarded with all this noise. Buy this, be this, look like this. This source is like a quiet corner saying, stop, breathe. Does this actually feel like you?
It's interesting. Usually in these deep dives, we walk away with a list of things to do. Here are three steps to be better. But the takeaway here is almost a subtraction. It's about taking things away.
And in a world of information overload, subtraction is a powerful tool, maybe the most powerful tool. Knowing what you're not doing is just as important as knowing what you are.
And for the people who stay, the ones who say, yes, I want to inhabit my body, not advertise it, what's the promise?
For them, the text promises something deeper than fashion. It promises a way of living that is self-contained, self-assured. It's the difference between wearing a costume and wearing your own skin. It promises that if you stop performing, you can start living.
Well put. It makes me think about how many things in our lives we choose because we're trying to perform for someone.
That's the bigger question, isn't it? If we applied this filter to our careers, our hobbies, how much would just fall away if we ask, is this for validation or is this for alignment?
That's a scary question, but a necessary one.
It is. But like the text says, clarity is respect. Respect for yourself.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with that thought. In a culture screaming for your attention, there's incredible power in silence. There's power in deciding your life is meant to be inhabited, not just broadcast.
And just remember that final line, alignment never needs to be rushed. If you feel frantic, if you feel pressured, maybe just pause.
And ask yourself, is this persuasion or is it alignment?
And if the answer is no, remember, walking away isn't failure, it's discernment.
I think we'll leave it there. A huge thanks to the author of the Fit Fashion Manifesto for giving us a reason to stop and think. And thank you for listening curiously, and we hope not in a rush.
Indeed.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive. Stay aligned.